But those are the kind of questions that drive me to deeper and deeper and deeper Bible study. John's going to take about a half hour, 35 minutes tonight to share with us, and I think he's got about 3 hours worth of notes, and we've encouraged him to get it down. And I know what he's talking about. If I was going to talk about this in depth, I could probably do 3 hours a day for a year talking about the Spirit of God and still not cover it. So let's see what John has to say tonight, and just open up your heart. But more than that, let God open up your thinking and let him take you deeper into his word.
Well, unlike Sandra, this is my first time. And I see nobody got the memo about canceling tonight. You weren't supposed to show up. Oh, I want to share a few things tonight, and a lot of it is about half of it is testimony on how I began to hear God and how I hear him today, the progression that it took. Now, I'm going to be sharing some scriptures about the Holy Spirit, and I tell you, I found it hard, real hard, because it's hard to talk about the Holy Spirit and not talk about the second chapter of Acts. About the power, because it's one of the same. But there's some scriptures I'm going to be reading tonight that'll be talking about. Okay, there'll be some scriptures that I'll be reading tonight that'll be talking about as far as how I relate to him every day. There are several ways we've talked about. You've heard about. We talked about the fivefold ministry, in which we need that in our lives, the word says, in order to perfect the saints. I think as I became to know the Lord, that was when it was the most important in my life, because I knew nothing about God. But as I began to hear teaching about who he was and what he wanted to be in my life, is when my faith then started to begin to change and learning to trust him. Unlike the Old Testament, where we had priests, kings that God had used, and prophets to spoke through, and then later on he'd use Moses and Job and Noah. That was done that way in order to keep a righteous bloodline, in order to make a way through for Jesus to come. And when he had came on the day upon his resurrection, there was the Ark of the Covenant, in which the power of God existed, that was kept in a room that was put behind a veil, in which I think the Word of God describes it being about 4 inches thick. Some people translate it as being a full hand. But it says it was 4 inches according to the measurements. And upon his resurrection, that veil was torn, representing the power of God and the Spirit of God leaving and going out into man. I mean, that was some presence. You couldn't even touch the Ark of the Covenant without dying. And when the priests had to go in there, they would tie a rope around their ankles. Because if they weren't right when they went in there, why, they would die, and you had to pull them out. The power was just so great there. And anyways, I'm going to share some things about that time. I'm going to share a few scriptures with you. In John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in my name, he shall teach you all things and bear all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, as I go through and start giving some testimony, I'm going to relate some of this because of how I experienced it, and he began to show me and bringing things back into remembrance that I had forgotten. And in John 15:26-27, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye has been with me from the beginning. So the Spirit of God, it said it came upon the earth, so it was there in the beginning. And we know Jesus was, because Jesus said that throughout the word we hear that in John 1, the word was with God. And so therefore, from the beginning, the Spirit could testify everything that Jesus was here for. Also in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So there's an importance there as to him leaving and sending the Comforter to abide with us and in us, that he may teach us all things and testify of Christ. Well, I really jumped ahead quick. So, you know, when I first came to know the Lord, I believe I was about 9 years old. I was born in Beloit, Wisconsin. And I was a troubled kid at that point, mainly because when I was born, I had what they called granuloma tumors on the brain. And there were about 9 of them. And I had an infection from the day of birth. And they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole back then. And so, therefore, they waited until I was 9, that I was older. And, of course, they were further along than what they were then on doing them kind of surgeries. But they took in, they went in, it was on April 8th, 1969. Never forget that day, nor that it was at 10 o'clock when they wheeled me in. Something, I guess, like that, you don't forget. But I went in there, and they took the tumors out, and the infection at that point in time had already, due to the fact I'd had it since birth, had caused a lot of nerve damage, things like that. And so I was seeking. I was seeking for something, because I was a little kid. I was 9 years old. I was afraid of death. You know, I don't think it had been at that point in time it had been any different than anybody going through a cancer or anything else. You feared what you didn't understand. And so I was pretty disturbed at that time. In fact, my parents, they kept telling my parents that more than likely I was going to be one of them special needs people. And you ask my wife, she tells you I still am. But anyway, they went in, they'd done the surgery, they got the tumors out, but they still weren't able to stop the infection. And so therefore, most of the side, they'd done some plastic surgery, and they'd done what was called a mastoidectomy. It's where they go in, they take what the infection had deteriorated, like the bones and things like that, completely out. Therefore, there's nothing in there. And which you kind of probably already knew that. But so they'd done the surgery. And when I was 9, I was seeking God at that point because I was in fear. And I can remember one particular service. I was lucky. We had my sister's brother or husband, her parents would come every Sunday and come and get us 3 younger ones and take us to church. And after the surgery, I went to church one Sunday, and I felt the presence of God for the first time. And I can't tell you if it was due to the fact of the fear that I was feeling or what, because your head's laid wide open. You know, you don't know what to expect at this point in time, except you need something. And so I felt the presence of God, and I went up and I got prayed for and got saved. And what I didn't realize is that after I got saved that one time, apparently people thought you needed to be saved every Sunday, because afterward I had several times they'd come back when it was that time at the altar call. They'd come back and say, you really need to go forward. And so every once in a while I'd have to go up and recommit my life. But anyways, at the age of about 11, I had quit going to church entirely. It wasn't that time that I didn't go back again to church until after I had met Sandra. And that was through Jim Riddle. I had him and I became good friends. And I met Sandra one bluegrass thing that we had out at an old church building out on 149, the first time I'd seen her. And so I kind of knew who she was, and I'd seen her picture in the paper prior to that without knowing who she was. But Jim asked me one time if I would go on a double date with her, and once I found out who she was, I said, sure. So then later I realized after that first evening that this is who I wanted to spend my life with. But even though during that time I wasn't going to church, but it never stopped me from asking God, telling him what I needed, what I wanted in a wife. My family, it was so messed up. I mean, we were talking drugs, alcohol, abuse, wife abuse, getting beat, divorces left and right. That was the one thing I'd seen so much of that I never wanted. I can remember many a times of asking God that if I ever got married, give me a woman that I can just will work with me, that I can trust, and that would believe in me. And I think that's the most important to a man that he can have, is to have a wife that believes in him. And I feel blessed that I've had that all these years. But anyway, I met her and we started dating, we started going to church, and of course I had to get saved again for Sandra's mom. And that was kind of an important thing to her. She wanted to make sure I was before I married their daughter. And so we were at a business meeting one Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I believe. We were at a business meeting there at the church, and one of the deacons and the minister, they were kind of scuffling around about choices on some things they wanted to do and how they wanted to do them. They couldn't come up with an agreement on it. And so they decided, the deacon had asked the minister to kind of step out behind his glasses and let's step outside. Well, I told Sandra, I think it's safer in a bar. You know, and that was the last time that I went to that church. And I told her that was it, I was done. But I did ask the Lord, you know, even then after leaving, I asked him, I said, you know I need you, but if you got a place for me to go, you're going to have to show me. And so I started working as a welder at Kiwani Machinery. And there I began to meet this group of individuals that had just started a church up north of Queen City. And they were a strange bunch of people. I mean, I was a welding, and when I get done welding my part, one of the guys was a general laborer that was scheduled to work with me. So after I welded something, it was his job to scrape the slag off of stuff. Well, he was one of that bunch. And he'd always come around, he'd have that big smile on his face, you know, about he knew who he was in God. And boy, I just thought, oh, don't put me with this cat, you know. But sure enough, they did. And then while we were standing, as he would take the blades from me and start scraping them off, people would come around all the time talking to him. he'd have that little Bible in his pocket. Boy, he'd whip that. He was good about whipping that thing out so fast. He'd whip that out, and I'd sit there, and I'd just kind of overhear him sharing some things about the Holy Spirit. And pretty soon, my curiosity had got to me. And the opportunity came, I asked him, I said, what are you talking about? I said, why has everybody come over here, and what are you sharing? And he began to talk to me about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And as he began to talk, man, something inside of me just jumped. My head didn't understand it, but the Spirit that was within me did. And it was relating to my spirit, trying to tell it. But my head, because I hadn't spent time with God, hadn't spent time in the Word, it hadn't been renewed to the things of God. And a carnal mind cannot understand a spiritual principle. And so my old head, it was trying to keep up with what was going on. And it was saying, no, no, no. My spirit, it was saying, yes, yes, yes. And you got to see, that was the first time ever that I've ever experienced something on the inside of me that was alive. Other than I would have said, just me, my spirit, my morals, my knowledge, head knowledge, my senses. But it was the first time ever that I had an experience with something that was living inside of me that had something to say and that I needed to listen to it. So that got me stirred up pretty quick. And a few days of that went on. Me working with him and us constantly, finally it got to where we were doing more talking than we were working. And so I went home one Sunday or one week day and told Sandra about it. Told her about wanting to try to go to church up here. Oh, them tongue talkers. She'd heard about them people. You know, a lot of people heard about the tongue talkers. And I was telling her about what he was sharing about the gifts of the Spirit and stuff. And she was familiar with it, but it wasn't really a teaching. A lot of the Baptists, I guess, are in the thinking of that was for the disciples or back then. It wasn't for today, people today. But anyway, I knew it was just because something in me was jumping. And so we began to go up there. And it wasn't the first weekend, first Sunday, we knew that that's at this point in time where God had called us and where we needed to be. And there was a, after that, I spent more time in the Word. I spent more time talking to God. But it wasn't that I couldn't feel His presence. And it wasn't that, because I could. And it wasn't that I couldn't get my spirit excited, but it wasn't the same yet. It wasn't where I knew that I wanted to be as far as in a relationship with Him. So he began to teach me some things on how to hear his voice. I know we hadn't moved out on the farm yet. And we were living here in Kirksville. And we had a lady that was moving. She attended our church, but she was moving away. And so she had a guy that had come and stayed here to help her move that next day. But she didn't feel right about letting him sleep at her house. And so she'd ask us if we would put him up for the night. And we told her, well, sure, we would, but that we would probably be out late that night. And when we got, if we weren't there when he got there, just tell him to go on in. We'd leave the house unlocked, make himself at home, and we'll get there when we do. Well, we got home late that night. It was around 10:30 or so. And he still hadn't yet showed up. And I was sitting there, Sanders, she kind of thrown her nightgown on, went on into bed, and I sat down, started watching the end of the news. So it was around 10:30 that night. And I was just sitting there listening to the news, and all of a sudden I glanced over at the couch, and it was like an audible voice. It didn't come from here like some things I'm going to relate to here in a little bit, but it came more from here of telling me I needed to put something on the couch because this gentleman was going to wet the couch. And, you know, I'm thinking, man, this guy's 50-something years old. I find that really hard to believe, but I got to tell you something. Now that I'm 50, it ain't such a stretch. You know, I'm beginning to think I understand that. But anyway, so the Lord was telling me that. And so I can remember asking Sandra if we had anything, like a trash bag or something. She said, no, nothing. And I said, well, all right, we'll be fine then. And so finally I was sitting there, and he came in. And I sat there, and I chit-chatted with him for a little bit. And I purposely had, we only had Mary at the time. And I purposely told him that we'd leave the bathroom light on all time, just in case Mary gets up, and that way in the middle of the night she won't be stumbling around, she knows. And so if he would, leave it on, that way he'd know exactly where it was at. And anyway, it was around 5:30, 6 o'clock, we were in bed, and the phone rang. And she jumped up and answered it, really hadn't noticed that the guy was or wasn't there, but she got up and answered the phone. And it was this lady that had asked us if we would let him stay with us. And she had to come over right now, she just immediately. And so we told her, Sandra told her, fine, we'll come on over. And then she realized that this gentleman had left. And she thought, first thing, she said, I guess we must have offended him or had done something wrong that this man got upset and that he left. And she showed up, and sure enough, this gentleman, he had wet the couch, and he was so embarrassed by that. And to us, it was not that big a deal, but it was that he had. And so this was the beginning of really me beginning to hear something other than feeling an unction or something impressed on me what God might be saying, but actually hearing God telling me something. And it was shortly after that we had moved out on a farm. And as we were living out there, I'd go up to the church a lot. Work on music, studying. And I was going up to church one day, and there was our bus there, and we had this bus that we always used to take to camp. And Bart had used it to take the kids to camp out in Colorado, and I had put my stereo in that bus in order to give them something to hear while they were going and coming back. And so one night it was early, it was right after we got done with supper. It was around 6:30, 7 o'clock. I started driving up to the church, and I drove up the hill. And as I was going up, I looked over at that bus, and the Lord said, you need to get that stereo out of there. If you don't, it's going to get stolen. And I just put it off. You know, I thought, I'll get it out this weekend. And so I went up there, and I'd done my thing. And then late that same night, 11:30, went back up there, same thing. It wasn't nothing for you to go by a church up there at midnight or 1 o'clock and find the lights on, because I was up there singing or working on some music somewhere. And I started driving up that roadway again, same thing. That spirit, that same voice come to me and said, better get that stereo out of that bus, it's going to get stolen. Sure enough, I put it off. I thought, I'll wait until Sunday after church. I'll go jump out there. It won't take me but a few minutes. Take a few screws out, a few wires, and we'll be done with it. It didn't make it till Sunday. It had got stolen. So that were the beginning of him just beginning to show me and me hearing his voice. There was a lot of perceiving because I was learning more about the word. I found out you can read David, you can read Proverbs, Psalms of Solomon, and I found out through dealing with a lot of people that it's easy to perceive what God's telling you about them, but it's also just as easy to mental assent something. There's a difference. And when God is showing you something about someone and working with them, and then you learning by recognizing characteristics, or, for instance, there's some spirits that have, they take on certain traits. If you've seen some people that are really bad alcoholics, you begin to know their skin tone changes. There's a lot of things about them that change. Or if you've been around people with drugs, you know, there's a lot of things that begin to happen. The roofs of their mouths and their teeth decay. And there's just a lot of things that if you're into that, you start to recognize. But you got to be, it got me in trouble a few times of realizing that it wasn't, I began to recognize things, but it wasn't that God was showing me. It was that I understood the symptoms. And unless you can listen and begin to hear God and let him tell you these things, you don't know if he's telling you that this is an individual that maybe he wants to minister to, and that he's got something for you to say to him, or if it's one of them cases where you are just mentally assenting it. Maybe it's more like, well, in my case, I got to where after a while, because I was making such a fool out of myself of thinking God showed me something, that I just find to get out of the way, getting out of the conversation with them. So that became a big trip up for me. It took me a long time to learn to quit doing that and just learn to trust God and let him start carrying us through, or carrying me through anyway. A lot of this here that we're getting ready to get into is a lot of personal stuff, things that people that have meant most to me about life and about me serving God and where I stood in faith at the time. It was in 89, I believe, our pastor up at Body of Christ had passed away. Now, he was, to me, a spiritual leader. But it did come to a point where God had to deal with me on some things about even that I put so much trust in man and not in him. But he had passed away, and we took some hits. My faith did. I see God's word, talking about healing, about his power that dwells in us, about the laying on of hands. We knew he had heart trouble prior to. And like I said, there's one thing. I had a father here on this earth that helped me greatly in what I know. And I have been so blessed to know the things that I know as far as being able to get through life as a mechanic, a welder. But then I had a spiritual guidance father here, and that was him at that time. I mean, he helped me grow to that point, to everything that I knew or believed that I knew about God and standing in faith. I took a pretty big hit with that when he had passed on, because my thinking was, if there was anybody that could stand on the word of God and stand in faith for healing, it was him. And so he had passed away. And I was having problems dealing with that. And during that time, shortly thereafter, Sandra and I also lost a couple real good close friends, relatives actually. And so that was bothering me too. And we took on a new pastor. It was a pastor that, I ain't going to really kind of get into it. It was just one that we couldn't quite felt that's where God had called us to be anymore. That it was just time to move on. But at that time, you know, I was struggling with it so bad. And I told God, I said, you know what? It's almost an impossibility for me to serve you. Reading your word, the way I read it and understand it, the way I believe it's supposed to be understood, and not be able to say that it works, because that's how I felt about it. You know, there's a third of these people in here prayed for this man. And we stood and we all believed the same thing about healing. And it just wasn't working. And that was the whole point of faith, the trusting in the unseen, you know, our hope. So we took a pretty big hit. Or I did. Let me just say I did, because that was, like I said, a struggle. Well, I stayed out of church then for about, I'd say it was 13 years. And then come what we call the year of hell in our family's life. We had Standard Register shut their doors in April. And so we were trying to decide at that point in time about what we wanted to do about the farm, because we've pretty well figured out we was going to have to sell it, which wasn't really at the top of my list of what to do, because I loved that place out there. But I also knew that I wasn't going to put us in such a financial position that I could never get us out in debt. So that was weighing heavy on our minds. Sarah and Mary both were pregnant. And we lost our first grandson. Now, I got to tell you, me and God struggled over that one. But there was things that happened through that that allowed me to see the God that I know today. The one that's on the throne. The one that is always in control. I ain't going to share all the details on that, just because I don't think I get through it. But there was a point in that time I held that baby in my arms. And I reminded God of my promise that I would claim him as Lord and Savior, because I did believe in him. But I wouldn't serve him. Not until I understood that. He gave me an answer that I could accept. Like I said, I'm not going to share everything, because I don't, about that, as far as what that was, just because I don't think I got some here to get through. And I could accept that, because it made me realize that he was always in control, that he was always there. And he was always there for each and every one of us. And even though it was hard to accept at that point in time, because when you're dealing with grief and you've just come out of a position where it was the hardest thing on earth to stand in faith for something, because you wasn't even sure if the word was working for you, because it sure didn't do it, or you didn't feel like it did in the past. Why, it was quite a struggle. And I got to tell you, the hardest part with that was the two kids, Ashley, or Anna and Jacob was his name, were due at the same time. That made it hard. It made it hard on Mary. It made it hard on Sarah. How do you deal with something like that? How do you go through? Who do you lean on? But the one thing is, when that happened to me in that room, it was like a fog. This is the first time I'd ever experienced this. Later, I'm going to explain to you in another part of my testimony here what this was and how this relates to the word. But it was like all of a sudden, when I was holding that child and I was telling God to remind him of the promise that I had made him, it was like instantly his presence come in. And it was like there was a fog come through that room to where it was just him and I. There was nobody else. I couldn't tell you if I was there even. And we began to talk in a way that I talk to him today. But I was going through so much. At that time, I'm not thinking about how I'm hearing him, where is it coming from. I'm grieving, you know. So he gave me an answer I could accept. And so then I realized it. After we left the hospital and stuff, about 6 months had passed or so, I realized he gave me the answer that I wanted. The promise that I made him was that unless he could give me an answer, I was done serving him. So I knew there was a due date coming. And that was that I would go back to following him and seeking him. And I was just kept pushing it off. Until one day, I came home late one night, and I was sitting out on the couch. I turned on the TV, and there was this minister. He had a show on. And there was this gentleman in there talking. And he was elaborating, basically had this kind of the same situation I was having at that point in time with God. And he basically had told God that he was done until he could show him what he needed to see. And he said the Lord came to him with an answer. And as soon as he gave that answer, it like blew me off that couch because I knew God was saying time was up. It was time for you. Are you going to seek me or not? And the answer, the question that God had asked the gentleman was, am I not enough? And after I had experienced what I did in the hospital with that child and him revealing himself the way that he did to me, he's enough. He has made every provision possible to walk with his people, to talk to us, to have that personal relationship with us through his Spirit, to talk to ours, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. And it comes to a point, as I go on here, you'll find, I'd like to think, not always think about the testimony that I'm given, but the progression that I took, that it's taken, as far as how I hear him today, from the time that it was just a feeling of his presence, to the time now I can step up to any piano or any guitar, begin to worship my Father, and he comes to me. I feel his presence and it goes through my veins. There's such an energy that is beyond recognition. I'm jumping ahead again because I want to talk about that a little bit. But when the Lord asked me if he was basically asking me, am I not enough? And I said yes. Sandra and the girls had just started going to church at Patterson's. They'd been going there, I think, three weeks at that time. And so I started going. I think I went there 3 weeks before you guys had purchased this building. And it was the very first Sunday of us having service in this church. I sat right over there. And the Lord came to me and he said, this is where I want you to serve. And so I did. I said, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll stay here until you, and just I'll help out with the music. I'll do whatever you ask of me until you show me something different as far as what you have for me. And he did. But what a lot of people weren't seeing, and I can't explain this. I wish I could, because I think we could deal with about two-thirds of the people that we come across. But I allowed, through the losing of my job and the loss of the child and things like that, the depression to come in. And it got real heavy. It got to a point that I got the gun. I was ready to go home. Because, you know, I'd had this relationship with God where maybe I'd perceive what he's wanting me to do. Maybe I'd be hearing his voice. The child, it was a combination of a lot of things. But I would get, even at home, I'd go to bed. I wouldn't even get up. There's days I wouldn't get out of bed. If somebody knocked on the door, I'd just stay in bed. I wasn't home. And I know that's hard to believe, but that actually happened for quite some time. Until finally, there was a day I went to the gun cabinet and I got the gun. And I was crying out to God. And I told him, you know, I said, I can't live this life. If you have something for me, I can't go just feeling like you're saying this or you're saying that to me. That I have to know that we have a relationship, that we're talking to one another, that we're communicating, that I know what it is you have planned for my life, or that you're at least leading me and telling me what it is you want me to do. And I don't know how to express this, except that his presence came into the room, and all of a sudden, that thing that instead of here, down here, started going wild. And it was talking so fast. My head, but I had some word knowledge then at this point in time through the years. It was catching things, but my head was really, I was having headaches to no end because this voice was just constantly talking to me 24/7 every day, all day long. I learned how to hear it. I tell you, at first I thought I was in trouble. I really thought I had created this other individual. I done went off the deep end. Well, really, in fact, Glenn will tell you that. I called him. I said, you know, Bud, I need to talk to you. And him and Chelsea, I think we met at one of the outside diners out here one day. And I said, man, I've lost it. I said, I need to see a shrink. I need to get some pills. I need to do something. I said, I've created this voice on the inside of me that's just talking. I've even tried to trick it. I'm serious. I've done everything. And Glenn, he understood it. But I think Chelsea, she'd like to got the doctor and the pills on me. You know, but he understood it, and he was trying to get me to see it more so and understand it. But at that point in time, I was, the Lord gave me a way of describing it. And I know I've shared it with some of you. I'm going to share it again real quick just to give you an idea, because to me, it was the best illustration in the world to have given. For years, I ran a printing press. And on a printing press, we ran 5 or 6 different colors. Every color that came from a tower had a bug, which was a little box, what we call a bug. And each bug has to set directly on top of things to keep in register of one another as far as the colors to make this print. There has to be a certain hole punched right dead center of that bug all the time and everything in register. Well, when you first start running the press and you get all this in line, you start at about 200 feet a minute. Now that seems like it's pretty slow, and it is, but you start getting everything all tweaked in, all the bugs are in the line, the holes punching just right, and after you're sitting and you're trying to watch that to keep it, and then you can't for a while because you're getting a headache trying to watch it, so you get a strobe light on it, like a timing light that flashes that bug every time. Well, after a while, this go on for 6 months that you'd have this headache trying to keep an eye on that. But after 6 months, it was funny because I got to where I could turn the press up to 600 feet a minute, wouldn't need a strobe light, and if there was a speck of dirt on that print anywhere, I could find it. I could watch it that fast. And the Lord was showing me it wasn't that he was moving so fast that people couldn't see him or hear him, but it was knowing where to focus. He's here. He's always been here. He's always here willing to teach us and direct us. But that was the first illustration that I'd ever, in a way that I would understand. What's that? Really? I'm not even close. All right, well, needlessly, let me move on real quick, share one other thing because it's important to me. After that incident, it was shortly after that, I thought it was a week or two, Sandra seems to think, I might have been a little longer, but Sandra and the girls were up and they were shopping up in Iowa. And I had all day with the Lord. And the Lord had told me that I asked him after he told me that this was where he wanted me to serve. I asked him, I said, well, what is it you want me to do? Because I could help in worship and stuff. And his comment was, I want you to learn to love your wife. And I told him, I said, well, Lord, I said, I grant you, I probably don't treat her as good as probably I could have or should have. But I think I treat her pretty good. You know, it ain't like I'm one of these guys that goes out in the bars or smacks her around. But I thought I treat her pretty good. And so he said, he said, I want you to learn to love your wife. And so I said, okay. And so I started studying the scriptures on it. All of them. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and that he gave his life for it and that he died. Understanding that that wasn't what he was talking about at all in death, but that the fact that he came to serve. And that was what he had meant for me to do with my wife. And how she was, I ain't going to tell you what she was supposed to, because we get into that. But anyway, so I understood that. But through that, I got so wrapped up into it that one day when they went shopping up in Iowa, I finally got what it was that the Lord was trying to get me to see through that, learning what it means to love my wife. Because one day I was just asking God, and I could feel his presence. It was as strong as anything I'd ever felt in my life that day. And he came, and I cannot begin to tell you what it felt like, except to tell you that the energy that flowed through my body was like nothing you could ever experience here on earth. It's a power that is unmatched. It's nothing you can ever go by to find something to fix it or that could relate to you, to give it to you. But it was just the love of God was so strong flowing through my veins. And what he was showing me was, and getting me to see, is the same way that he was teaching me how to love my wife is how much he loved me. About him being the head and being the groom and us being the bride, coming for one without spot or wrinkle. And I understood then. I began to understand a lot of things in relating to that. But I asked Glenn one time, why is it? What is the hardest thing? Why haven't we told people that this exists, this type, if no one ever told me that kind of power or energy or presence of God ever exists, or that we can be in the presence of God and be in a spiritual realm that isn't here, because the truth is, that's who you are. You are a spirit being. You belong more to him there than we do here. We're here now because we have a serve. He's got something. He's got a plan for our lives. And it's to bring others to know him. But we belong to eternity. This is time-based. That is not. And our job here now is to do that, is to listen to him, is to be led by the Spirit of God, that voice that's deep within inside us, to bring others to hear that same voice, that we can give them that same eternal life that we have. Because that's been the one thing that's in me that has hurt so much, is to see somebody that I've known most of my life, or it's been family, that I know ain't going to have that peace and go on. So, all right, Glenn. Gosh.
Some of you might think that's me, and that's not me. It's training. Good job, John. He said a lot of things that are important in learning to follow God. And Damon and I both have have worked with young speakers for a long time, and that's part of it. It's not meant to embarrass anybody, not meant to be mean. It's to let them know that the time's running out. That's all. So I've seen a couple of heads jerk back like that. John knows that I was going to do that. I don't think he thinks I'm mean. So, but if he does, well, okay, I'm mean. Write it down. Don't forget it. Hearing God, the most important thing we can do, in my opinion. Because when he talks about the word, one of the reasons that that the so-called faith movement hasn't been a movement for a long time is because it didn't work. Why? Because they hadn't heard God. They tried to quote him, they tried to memorize him, but they didn't hear him. If you hear him say it, and then you begin to stand on it, believe me, it'll happen. So, any questions, anything before we turn it loose? Damon?
I thought it was good, some of the different examples you used on hearing God, because I think we do in many different ways. Even some of the things about the wetting of the couch. God's Spirit knows everything. And if we listen to him, he'll share with us a lot of different things. And then hearing him in hard times, I think there's different ways we hear him at different times, and I thought that was really good how you shared that, because when you're in a place of desperation, you hear him differently. It is like some walls are gone. Just because there's such a desperation there that it's like God just shows up. And so I thought that was pretty good.
I thought it was real good, the point where you said that you had told God that if you didn't hear him, that you were basically going to quit. I remember one time not too long back that I told God I wasn't going to quit on God, but I told him I'm pretty much done with the ministry part of it. I'm just going to find a really good church and be a part of it and just kind of hide in the crowd, because I'm just done trying to work with this generation that doesn't seem to care. One Sunday in another church, and the pastor from the pulpit somehow pegs me in the congregation, and he gets to the back door before I do, and he says, "I don't know who you are, but you and I need to talk." And I said, "Okay, God, I hear you. I'm not done after all." So, and that hadn't been that many years ago. Anybody else? I really liked the incremental way that you laid it out, to where you began hearing him in almost just an impression about your wife. And then it graduates and graduates until it's where it is now. And believe me, in a year it'll be different. If nobody else has anything, thank you for coming. Thank you, John. We'll let you finish it up in about two or three sessions again.